After a hiatus, the Monitor Breakfast has returned with a bang. Trump ally Steve Bannon joined Washington Bureau Chief Linda Feldman and 30 other journalists at the St. Regis Hotel in Washington last Wednesday for a spirited discussion on the Israel-Iran war. Mr. Bannon, a top MAGA influencer and podcaster, strongly opposes direct U.S. involvement in the conflict. Others in President Donald Trump's orbit are urging a U.S. attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. However events play out, one thing is clear. Mr. Bannon does have the president's ear. As Linda writes in her column about the breakfast, he confirmed that he spent 3 hours in the West Wing on Thursday, including lunch with President Trump. He wanted to top breakfast with the Christian Science Monitor, Mr. Bannon texted her. It's Monday, June 23rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kendra Nordine Beato, reading for Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. A judge ordered that Mahmoud Khalil be released. The U.S. government was told to free the former Columbia University graduate student from immigration detention. He has been held since early March, while the Trump administration sought to deport him over his role in pro-Palestinian protests. His lawyers had asked the judge to release him on bail Friday from a Louisiana jail or transfer him to New Jersey, where he could be closer to his wife and newborn son. Mr. Khalil isn't accused of breaking any laws. Medicare and Social Security go broke, dates moved up. Rising health care costs and new legislation affecting Social Security benefits have contributed to closer projection depletion dates, the dates at which the programs would no longer have funds to pay full benefits. Social Security's trust funds, which cover old age and disability recipients, will be unable to pay full benefits beginning in 2034. After that point, Social Security would only be able to pay 81% of benefits. Also, South Korea's K-pop band, BTS, is expected to reunite. The massively popular 7-person K-pop group has completed South Korea's mandatory military service. The rapper Suga is the last one slated to join his bandmates after fulfilling his duty as a social service agent. The 6 remaining members have served in the army. The K-pop group, launched in 2013, routinely breaks records and is credited for bringing the South Korean musical style to the global stage. Now, today's Monitor Stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. How difficult would it be for the United States to use bunker-busting bombs to help neutralize Iran's nuclear program, a job Israel has set out to do? Anna Mulrein-Groba has been reporting on the challenges that could arise should diplomatic efforts fail and President Trump opts to proceed with military action. Watch for her forthcoming story at csmonitor.com. Israel had been hoping for years to have a chance to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities, which it fears could produce a nuclear weapon. Washington has always nixed such plans, but that's no longer the case, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has taken military action. The next question is whether President Donald Trump will go further and order a bunker-busting U.S. attack on Iran's main underground enrichment complex at Fordo. Either way, Prime Minister Netanyahu had compelling reasons, both political and military, to act now. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. Ukraine's northeastern Sumy region is bearing the brunt of Russia's summer offensive. Its progress is slow, but enough to force 100 Ukrainian civilians to flee their homes each day for safer locations. Hanging over everything is Ukrainians' awareness that U.S. aid is almost certain to end. But they are not complaining about betrayal. "We understand that the U.S. wants to be free of all these global problems like Ukraine," says Mykhailo Samus, director of the New Geopolitics Research Center in Kyiv. Howard LaFranchi reports from Sumy, Kyiv, for The Monitor. The Democrats' choice for New York City mayoral nominee, a damaged former governor or a Democratic socialist with a thin record, could point to whether the party's leftists or moderates have the upper hand going forward. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo is fending off a late-surging challenge from Zoran Mamdani, an assemblyman from Queens, who has galvanized the city's young left-wing voters. He has pledged to freeze rent, make buses free, and build more affordable housing. Contributor Aaron Short reports from New York City for The Monitor. Nearly half a year since a wildfire swept through the greater Los Angeles community of Altadena, residents are asking, should they return and rebuild? Can they afford it? And what good might rise from the literal ashes of their former lives? Often, the spotlight on communities impacted by such events starts and ends in the immediate aftermath. The Monitor decided to take a longer-term view, following families along Olive Avenue as they navigate what comes next. Jackie Valley and Melanie Stetson Freeman report from Altadena, California, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how NATO is eyeing the essence of security. When the top national leaders of the world's most powerful security alliance meet June 24th and 25th, they will be asked to examine the very definition of security. New threats and challenges, such as climate change, have upended old ideas that troops and weapons are enough. In particular, the 32 member states of NATO will decide not only whether to commit to spending 3.5% of their national income on military forces, but also whether to tack on 1.5% for a broad notion of security that largely relies on civilian society. The proposed total percentage for a NATO-wide commitment, 5% of gross domestic product for security, would be up from the current obligation of 2% for traditional defense. In recent months, the Trump administration has demanded such an increase from its allies in Europe and Canada to equalize spending with the United States. The alliance's civilian leader, a former Dutch prime minister, is on board with defining new concepts of security. "The home front and the front line are now one and the same," said NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte in a speech this month. NATO has moved toward a whole-of-society resilience since Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine, the first full-scale land war in Europe since World War II. In resisting advances by the larger Russian military, Ukraine has shown the importance of non-traditional civilian-led defenses. It has beefed up infrastructure, such as trains, to move military forces. It has improved integrity in government by cracking down on corruption in the military to ensure efficient use of weapons and to keep troop morale high. It has encouraged freedom and creativity for engineers to design innovative drones crucial to winning on the battlefield. And it has used truth-telling and transparency to fight off Russian meddling and misinformation in cyberspace. Such values, which are key to new meanings of security, are difficult to buy. Yet they are essential for NATO to defend its democracies. "War is no longer fought at a distance," said Mr. Rutte. "Our societies and militaries are in this together." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we humbly yield to the divine law of good, we find the healing and solutions we need. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case and Tanya Raghu.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.